Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa, and...
And my name is Liz.
Good morning.
Come through my window. I went through your window, girl. I came through her window to say hello on The Lois Effect. Lord have mercy. So you know when you're doing too many things at the same time. I was just composing an email, and then I looked at the clock, and I'm like, let me call in. Yeah, and I've been up since like 5 o'clock, for God's sake.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I mean off and on, but yeah, more on than off. So I'm just rolling with it. So then, you know, I got into like, well, what loose ends do I have today? Oh, let me just take care of this. What correspondence do I have? Oh, let me get on that. Anyway, what a shit show. Anyway, just one of those days.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know, it's weird when you do that, when you kind of wake up early and then. And you think, for me, because I can be a morning person. There are times when if I get into a time period where I just happen to be up. But rarely, if I'm up early, I'm like, I'm going to try to go back to sleep. That's usually my default setting.
Yeah.
Like, it's too early. I'm going to get back to sleep.
Right.
Half the members of my family are like, oh, it's morning. It's time to do things, you know, and they're up.
Right.
But,
Like your cousin Anna.
Anna's like my dad, you know. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I love that.
It's 4 o'clock. I'm up.
Come on, let's do it. Let's do this. Now, it's really, really handy when, you know, she was like my roommate for a couple of weeks, exactly a year ago, and I'm kind of nostalgic about that time. But, it's crazy. And she and I are pretty we're very different people, but we're very similar in terms of our how we are energetically, I think, in a physical way where we're just up buzzing around and doing and all of that. And then you and I are very similar, like in very odd ways. Like, yes, I had this dream 2 days ago, and I woke up at 2:28, and I astral projected, and I hung out with the Pointer Sisters. Like, bitch, I had the same dream.
Right.
What the? At the same time.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. I did have a dream last night that I was, I felt like it took place in New York City because there was like a show involved, but I wasn't, you know, I don't know if I was just going to attend. I just remember, I remember walking around, like walking down certain streets and dealing with crowds. And I want to say that there are people who are lined up to go to this, see this show.
Wow.
But there were different entrances and you had to, you know, you had to know, like, I guess with your ticket, but I didn't see a ticket. It was just that was a feeling of, you know, you have to follow where you need to go to see the show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But I can't tell you more than that. I just remember.
But you know what came to mind? Which usually I'm like the soothsayer with the dreams. I'm not going there yet. I probably will in a second. But the first thing that came to mind was that when you and I and your friend who lives in Atlanta, maybe there was some other people too that went. We didn't all sit together, but you and I sit next to each other with your one friend. And you guys had
Kim,
your
my friend Kim.
Yes, with your little. Sorry, your little stuffed pets that you take with you guys wherever you go.
Oh, yeah. Cam.
So yours is Cam, cute, adorable monkey. And then what is hers?
Yes. Hers is Clyde Minimus.
Of course it is.
A camel. A camel of mild adventure.
See, when you get too academic, okay.
She's a librarian. You know, what can,
I,
you, know,
thank
can you.
You
do?
Okay, so
I just
Camel
played one on
Maximus.
TV like lifetimes ago, but she's an actual librarian.
Okay, so you guys are taking pictures with like your little cute little, but it reminded me of when we went to see this great show called The Play That Goes Wrong that we just laughed.
That was hilarious.
That was so fun. And we were, and the unusual thing about the audience to get into the theater is that, like, the show started kind of like outside on the street when you're waiting online. So, so what you're saying kind of reminds me of that. That's not the typical, you know, waiting online to go into the theater type of experience. But for this particular show, it was part of the show.
Yeah.
So
I love that kind of stuff.
Me too. It was so, oh my God, it was like Monty Python on crack and a whole bunch of other things. It was so much fun. So it's making me think of that. But then on a more subliminal level, I think very simply that it means you are ready to go to, you are more ready and more equipped and you've done the work, and, you know, it's always a work in progress. We're always moving forward doing the work. To kind of go on the adventure and see, but do you notice in this dream, you weren't like taking care of things. Like, you usually are taking care of things, or you're in the forest and you got your machete, and you got your lace up suede boots, and you got your, you know, your shield, and you're like a wizard, and, you know, you're hanging out with the animals and whatnot. No, you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna, it's like, you were fine. Like, ready for the, ready for new things to unfold. There, I don't feel any sense of trepidation. Mm-mm. So I think that's a reflection of where you are positioning yourself, or where you are, you know, what direction you're yielding. And we talked about that on the last show, about like just yielding. So the way a plant will yield to the sun,
mm-hmm.
and even if it's just a little glimpse of sun, that plant is going to shift to photosynthesize and get all that it needs. Look at me, my big words. lean into getting that light. So I think it's kind of about that as well. And it's funny that you talked about going to a show. Here we go, because last night I have and it's so much fun, and we've been doing this for years, even pre-corona, but one of my best friends and collaborators is my friend Dennis, and we, for many years now, we have done phone happy hours, because why wait to get together? I mean, that made sense. That made, because he would always do happy hour at my house, or we go out or whatever. And we're getting to the point now, I think we're like month four now, going into month five, where we're getting a little crazy, and nostalgic for the things that we used to do. And I'm such a show bunny, like, that I live for going to the theater, and I'm a sucker for a Broadway musical. You know, people can make fun of me, go right ahead. And so I would say a big part of the phone conversation is that we would go into show tunes in the middle of it. Like, we would say, but we would make up lyrics to show tunes to make a point. So probably this is going to be boring to most of our audience, so I'll be a geek for 2 seconds, and then we're going to talk about, like, real stuff. So, because these are like geeky theater references, but maybe you'll get it. So, like, there's this famous show, A Chorus Line, right?
Yeah.
Famous show. Okay. And there's a line of a song that it's about these dancers that are trying to get into the chorus line of a Broadway show. That's what it's about. It's a movie. They revised the show. It's like any theater bunny listening to the show, they're like, yes, bitch, we're in church. Keep preaching. We're the church of Billy Porter right now. So So I'll be really quick because I don't want to bore you guys. So there's one song that ends, "Oh God, I really need this John," right?
Mm.
And we were saying, "Oh God, we really miss our life, our old life." So we're just making up lyrics. We're making up lyrics to we're like making up the lyrics. Like we miss going to the theater. We miss seeing each other for happy hour. We miss. Oh my God! So I'm getting a little crazy. I know I'm not the only one. But I'm like fantasizing. So when you're like, "Oh, I had this dream, I went to the show," I'm like, "What show was it? Who's in it? Did I see it? Do you have a copy of the playbill? Did you get one for me?"
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just, you know, and as you were talking about, even about our own experiences about going to the show, it was obviously going to be slightly different. But the feeling was that exactly what that show we saw, where it starts before you even get into theater.
Exactly. Right.
That's like, so obviously for me, it's like, well, and the dream of this play, it's like, yeah, you may not be, you may not think you're part of it, but you're part of it.
Right.
Yeah. You're not really a spectator. The spectator that you think you are, like you're going to be
right.
an active participant.
You're a participant, right.
Right.
See?
Right.
That's what the dream means. It's like you're ready to be a participant in the show of your life.
Mm. Oh, and that's, I haven't put together my vision board. I have all these parts still, but I'm putting it together. I've been working on it since, I guess it's Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Friday since I had the day off, but I've been just putting things together and I haven't literally put it together, but I've got a lot of different pictures
nice.
And
nice.
Working on some symbols, like some Chinese symbols
nice.
That visually look good. And what's interesting is, of course, I'm geeking out like, what does this mean? And having visited those countries back in,
how beautiful.
In November, December, I'm like, seeing the history and seeing some of the connections with like Japanese and
nice.
Chinese culture.
I love it.
So,
and not that I come across like I know so much. I don't know a damn thing, but, yes, I can talk to you about Asian culture. No, I can't. But I think maybe unconsciously there is a, and it's beautiful, there's like a gravitational pull toward those symbols because those cultures, and many cultures, but those two are really about cultivating a sense of being one with all that is and being of the art and the art of living, especially Japanese culture. I
right.
mean, they will spend 4 hours just to have one cup of tea. I'm like, bitch, got to do some shit today, but that's okay. But, a flower arrangement, like that's beautiful. Like the art of living. And what's her name? Maria Kondo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She's so cute. This is she is the cutest. They should do an anime about her. She is the cutest thing. She's like, has all the books, The Art of Tidying Up. I need her to come to my house and like live with me for like a month and tidy this bitch up because I'm dying. I am dying. Oh, I am. I can't. I just walk through the house and I shake my head and I sigh. I go, I can't do anything about it. I live with two young men. I can't do a damn thing about it. And they, listen, they're alive. They're safe. They're well. I would not want them anywhere else during a freaking pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish the spirit of Maria Kondo would just like possess them. Anyway, it's all getting to me a little bit. But she has, I think she's, you can probably still find it on Netflix. Like, I like binged. This is even before we would binge because it's Corona. I just binged it like, you know, a year ago, The Art of Tidying Up. And just the simple art of how to fold your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so I think it's interesting and I think it's really cool that you're drawn to those symbols and those cultures. Very, very interesting. I made a vision board probably within the last 6 months. No, probably longer than that. Probably not quite a year ago. And it's the most simplest. It's almost like a Zen vision board. It's so simple. I used to, my vision boards were so overwrought. And this one on top, I would say about 6 months ago, it says, thank you, thank you, thank you, on the top.
That's good.
Thank you, on the top. Yes, actually, I did this about 6 months ago when I was, remember, I was all into the radical gratitude type of situation for 30 days. So I did that. So that's when I did, that was part of the things that I did during that time. I just did a second round of that, which just ended like 2 days ago, although I will, I practice gratitude meditation every day, and that's not changing. But a little sidebar before I talk about my vision board, what's so cool, one of the exercises, and it's a pretty common one with abundance and things like that, is to write out a check from the universe. But in this exercise, it was for something specifically. And what's so crazy is that check was written on February 1st. Now, that was when I did the first gratitude round. I just finished the second gratitude round. On June 20th, the exercise came up to write the check. And what's so crazy, the check was for the same thing that I had put out there in February, but the difference was on June, I think on my birthday, on June 23rd, I actually paid for the thing that I asked for in February and June 20th.
Wow.
I mean, to the penny. So that's crazy. So
that's,
I love
great.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so thank you, thank you, thank you's on the top. And then on the right, it says exhilarating, enriching, enduring, exceptional. Let the journey begin. And then I have a picture. It looks like Cuba or something. Like, I love, like, Latin, tropical, cool Caribbean environments. And then it says reality gets an upgrade. And then there's a picture of a Latin woman, and she has, like, it's like if she's like the female Scarface, like she has like tons of cash in her hand, in both hands, and then and then there's a woman, you see her from the back, and you could tell that she has a mic pack on, and she's speaking like a motivational speaker, and she's like in the theater speaking to a crowd, and it says endless creativity, limited possibilities. Then my business card's in the middle. And then there's a very nice couple, a beautiful black couple, and the guy is hugging the woman. She's, like, sitting in front of him, and he's hugging her from behind. And it's just this beautiful, intimate, beautiful picture, and it says travel on top of that. And then it says family, and I have a symbol for both kids. I have Jeremiah in the classroom because, you know, one could hope. And then I have a studying intently. And then I have a butterfly to symbolize coal. And that's and it says, yeah, and that's it. That's the whole vision board. So it is the most minimalist that I've ever done, because before it was so overwrought. It's like I didn't trust life. So going back to your dream a little bit, you – in that dream, you're just really trusting the flow of whatever's coming. And
yeah.
you're having so much fun, like you're not rushing, oh, I got to do my vision board, whatever. It's like a piece of art. You're basically making an artistic, a creative expression of where you are intending and wanting the energy to go. And I think it's a very potent time for you to do that. And you take your time doing it because you're enjoying the process. And I think that's beautiful. Yeah. That's great. And you probably have so many great pictures. And I like doing a vision board with pulling magazines as opposed to, I like the old-fashioned way, as opposed to doing a search and then printing stuff out in the computer. I like kind of going through a magazine and sort of letting the pictures talk to me as opposed to, right? Yeah. So my older son a while ago said, oh, can you put color ink in the printer? I'm like, no. I'm like, why? Black and white's fine. Why? I went to my vision board. I'm like, you got to do it the other way. If there's something, it's like that act of discovery because you don't know. You're going through a stack of magazines, you know. And it's fun, right? That you're like, oh, I turn the page. Oh, I love this picture. Okay, I want it. I want to put it in the maybe pile of pictures to include in my vision board. Doesn't
totally
mean everything's going to make the cut. Huh?
Right. There's totally a maybe pile. Totally.
There's always a maybe pile. You got to edit. It's cute. So as opposed to, well, I'm going to Google, you know, this image. I like when the images kind of find you because you have like a stack of magazines and you're just going through it. I mean, there's so many different ways. They even have apps for vision boards and all of that. But I like the old school, like how you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me some scissors and a glue stick and I'm good to go.
There's a process because I still have, I have stuff in my old maybe pile that I found, and I'm like,
let me look through these.
And some of them I'm like, why did I pull this one? Like, you know, I flip the other, like, look on the other side. I'm like, oh, that's because of this. You know, yeah, I don't know the other side.
It's
been good to still sift through that. Some of it, even the stuff that I had, you know, I trimmed it out, you know, it was really nice. I'm like, not quite what I'm looking for right now.
Right.
It's good.
Now, let me ask you this, because I've done this also. So sometimes I'll save my vision board, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting when you see how your vision boards have evolved over time.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Like, I used to pack it in like season one of Hoarders. Like, I want this board, I want this, I want that. And like the board I have now it's so the opposite. It is so minimalist. And that's the other thing too about Japanese culture too. Very efficient and very minimalist as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very profound.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with all these different things that I have set aside, like, yeah, what's really important here? And is this indicative of what I really want, or is it just something kind of close but not quite? Because I'm not putting it on the board. You know, I'm putting that in, still in my maybe pile for another time. But I'm not, you know, I haven't committed to putting anything on there yet. I want to arrange it, but I'm definitely taking my time. And I'd written some things down before I started. Of just, you know, what's really important for me for right now. And I'm looking, I just refer to that list. I'm like, okay, so have I covered everything? You know, is this everything that I need? And do I have something that embodies that or that represents that?
Right.
I need to go to a few more magazines. I don't have a lot because we don't really get magazines here.
Right. I have to find them, like the laundry room and whatever. I don't have a ton either.
Right. So I'll. But I mean, I don't think it's going to take that much, honestly.
No.
So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm gonna probably, you know, work on it a little bit tonight. I didn't have a chance last night, but I'll probably work on it a little bit tonight and see how I want things arranged. And I was like, same with you. Like, I was getting a little crazy with, oh, I want to put this. And, you know, I had like a bajillion seashells that I was like, oh, I can put some of this on there. I'm like, no, maybe not.
Now it's a diorama.
I know. now I've got like, because I'm the same. I do keep my vision boards somewhere, like probably in the garage somewhere. But it has been interesting to look at some of them and say, oh, you know, that actually did pan out.
Right,
like,
and you see when things come to fruition. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's really, really cool, whether it's a vision board or you do like an abundance or gratitude program and then you go back to it and you do it again and then you see like, oh, my God, like this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, like when I wrote that virtual check in February, I'm like, I have no freaking idea how I'm going to be able to pay for this thing that I really need. It's to pay for a certification course that I'm going to start taking the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's a miracle. It's a literal miracle. And in the stage of life, like, you know, like you're waiting in your dream to see what's going on stage, we have to have the intention and not think about how it's going to all work out. But we can't sit back passively either.
Right.
So we're moving forward. So things like practicing conscious gratitude, doing a vision board, like all those, like clearing stuff, like we got to just do our part. I mean, even though we were kind of backed into this crazy corner right now, I don't know. We got to do something.
Right. I want to say hi to Raven and Aloha Jay.
Hello.
And Raven had written in there, I use the intention, it would be nice if blank, then fill in the blank. Mm. It worked the very first time I did it. And she put, I set my intention, it would be nice if everyone in the house helps clean.
Oh, girl. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's cute. Oh, my God. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, I wanted to kind of revisit. We had a really good session Sunday night.
Yes, we did.
For our mastermind group that Anna, my cousin, has put together. And I love that it's a sort of, especially over a holiday weekend, it's like, oh yeah, does anyone want to join? Like, you know, she'll send out a quick message. And there's, in the back of my mind, I'm looking at the day, like, you know, I haven't really gone out yet. Do I want to? Oh, but I have, you know, potentially a call this afternoon or this evening. So I'm glad that she was doing it. I was actually working on my vision board. I'm like, yeah, I could do that. I could I can sit in on that, tear myself away for a little bit and you know, let's sit and chat and see what happens. And the last couple of times it's been just, you know, like four of us. And
yeah, I love when it's a small group. Oh, I love
and
it.
That's been super nice because mm-hmm. we really do get to kind of catch up. And there's a flow to that because we all know each other so well.
Yeah.
Whereas there are a handful of other people, which I love our group. There are a handful of other people that you don't know any of those other people because you've never met them. In person. Whereas like the four of us who are we're on the call, like we've all met each other, we all know each other. There's that ease, and I think because of the way that safe space is set up, it really is a time of catching up. And kind of bearing our souls, you know, when stuff comes up, it's like, oh, we gotta.
Yep, we can shed a tear, and we can just go through a catharsis, whatever it is that we. It's so helpful. Like when she had put out the message, I'm like, yes, Jesus, thank you. Yeah.
You were ready. You're like, yes, I can.
I'm now.
I can do.
Give me the link. Yeah.
You and I had talked about this, like, on Sunday. Like, oh, yeah, maybe we should talk about that on the show.
I'm trying to remember. I know, look at us.
Now, it was like, so much has shifted since then.
Was it self-sabotage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Self-sabotage. And the, you know, like for these sessions, it's whatever comes up. And so that's come up, you know, as we're making all of our changes and, you know, things are always changing, things are always happening. But I think especially for those of us who are on the spiritual path and our awareness is expanding more and more and more, and we're realizing it's like kind of catching ourselves in a pattern that is now made apparent, like, oh, I keep doing this. And so self-sabotage was one of those things.
Yep.
Where,
big one for me.
Where, you know, like I said, it's just one of these patterns that we're used to. So there's familiarity, there's comfort. It's like there's a muscle memory to it almost.
Yep.
And so we get used to doing it, even though now that we're doing it and we're seeing it in with these like wide open eyes, it's still not always easy to initiate change. But just to recognize it first is a big deal.
Absolutely.
But then to recognize it means I got to add it to that list of other stuff I got to do.
That pile.
Right.
Right. Right.
But it's such a, it can be a it can be daunting. It can also be a motivating factor.
Yeah, a great lesson. Mm-hmm.
To say, all right, enough. Especially if it's a pattern as deeply entrenched as something like that.
And it's not serving you. It's bullshit, And the thing is.
Right.
And the thing is, the difference between self-sabotage and not going that route is self-sabotage. I feel you instantly regret it.
Mm.
You could hurt others. It's also a portal for the shadow self to make an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one great thing that Anna had said, which is really great guidance, is that before you speak, take a breath. Now, what's very interesting, as an audition coach, that's something that I teach, and I call it the courtesy breath. Because if you're going in as an actor, you're going in to audition, and clearly you're going to be judged, for 5 minutes. That's the gig. So you take that courtesy breath for a couple reasons. The first reason is your air is as good as the air that everybody else is breathing. You're the same. You're all human beings. You're in the space. So just to center and ground yourself. But on a deeper level, in terms of honoring the writing, because I'm all about that, don't talk to me about performing. Talk to me about storytelling. And I tell every actor I work with, you're not an actor, you're a storyteller. Okay? It starts with the writing. I'm very strident about that. So what I say to the actors is, yes, you're taking that courtesy breath to center yourself, and those people judging you are no better than you. But more importantly, you want to think about, before you do your audition, make a choice, whether you know about it because you have the text, or you're making an intelligent choice because all you have is just the scene or the material that they gave you, and you don't have the benefit of a backstory, but you better make backstory up as part of your preparation, and that you take that, and you're taking that courtesy breath, you're taking the final breath of what just happened before you start your first line. So you're taking the last breath of the moment, what's called the moment before. So this way you have a very specific approach to your character, and you're not performing, you're telling the story, you're serving the narrative. So when Anna said that on our call, take a breath before you speak, take a breath before you act, it really is the same concept. Courtesy breath. Give yourself the courtesy to not invite your shadow self to take over, because your shadow self has no mind, no consciousness. It's just trying to get the hell out. It's like, look, we're stuck trauma. We're trying to get out. open a window, something. So any way that that shadow self or that fossilized trauma can escape, it's going to happen, but it means you're ready for that. So if you can recognize the gift of self-sabotage as the most profound way to get your attention to just stop and do that pattern interrupt, because the worst thing about the self-sabotage is the regret, particularly if other people are in, other people become victim to your impulse.
Mm.
Because it, self-sabotage, in my opinion, is an impulsive response or an impulsive act to block good or to keep the fortress of fear up. And I was so happy that Anna wanted to do a mastermind call, because I'm like, I got to clean up my mess, because I am too grown to be getting sloppy. This is not, this is like shadow stuff, and like, no. I need to clear this and find a place for it and to honor it and to forgive myself and to ask for forgiveness, which I did in the immediately. I made a really stupid comment. And I knew in the moment, I'm like, oh, okay, I so said that as an act of self-sabotage. And I owned it, like, in that moment, thank God, in that moment. However, doesn't excuse the fact that it happened. And I feel bad about it. So we want to do that pattern interrupt. So we got to take that courtesy breath. So I think those were the things that when we were on the call, we were saying, you know, and thank you for bringing it up, that it would bode mentioning on today's show.
Yeah. It was a great session. It was a great mastermind gathering. And that was a huge thing for you to share, and then just for all of us to be able to take that in and say, yeah, you know, this is a time where changes are happening all around us, you know, and within us. And
right.
And sometimes these changes, I would say most of the time, especially in such extreme circumstances, the changes that are necessitated from being in, you know, a lot of restrictions for various reasons, you know. But the stuff that's coming up, I mean, everyone's having to deal with it, and everyone's dealing with it very, very differently. I feel very lucky to have at least done enough spiritual work on myself that, you know, sometimes you look at stuff like, for me, I have to be very mindful of how long I spend on social media.
Mm.
Because, you know, that's our spare time if we're not binge watching something that we've already seen a billion times.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, even
another
if it's,
portal.
Even if
right.
it's, yeah, even if it's something new that you're like, oh, let me, okay, I like it. I'll watch all 10 seasons of it.
Right.
At some point,
right.
You're gonna get on social media. You're gonna be in contact in a different way. And
right.
And sometimes I look at it like, wow, there's like a whole different world out there that people are in, that they've created, that we've all created, but that they're continuing to participate and to kind of sustain that vibration. It reminds me of when I worked in my corporate job, that corporate vibe where everyone has to feel downtrodden, and you can't actually have a good day because everyone looks at you the side eye like, how come you get to have a good day? I didn't have a good day. Well,
you have to be miserable.
Have a good day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, there that was such an interesting time, because, I mean, exactly to the day, I spent 5 years in that one company.
Wow.
And you know, I was deep into my numbers, and I'm like, well, that's a sign. 5 years, it's a change, you know. And I've not looked back. Like, I've not gotten back into that, you know, into that corporate structure. Actually, you know, I should say, there have been some gigs that I've done, but it's like you knew it was temporary. But otherwise,
right.
Yeah, because I get into that culture and it, everything about it is like destructive. Sometimes to, from the products that we're selling, you know, to the services that we provide, to how we treat our clients and how we treat our colleagues, our you know, our coworkers, every, you know, our health system, all of that. It's like all of it's meant to perpetuate this. But I just need to get more. We just need to do more, and we need to own more until we self-implode, you know, because we can't handle more. And just the acquisition of things is not enough to sustain the business, you know, really long term. You know, you just can't do it. And I think I look at how things are changing and the things that are happening now. There are so many things that are, you know, that are kind of crashing under the weight of itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so even, so this was like almost 20 years ago, because my last day was in September of, 2004?
Girl, that's crazy.
It's, you know, I knew it then. I had that feeling of like, I kind of, you know, for 5 years was in that environment. I'm like, God, this is crazy. I couldn't put my finger on it. I just saw so many disconnects and so many things that if you followed that thread, you're like, well, it's like going through a maze and looking, having the bigger picture of this maze. I'm like, well, if I go that way,
right,
that's a dead end. And, you know,
right,
and there's only one way out, you know,
right,
and not to say that you have to die to get out, but, you know, I mean, that's, it's not, and it, you know, because in the bigger picture, you know, we're all going to die at the end. You know, that's just, you
right,
know, that's just a fact. But are you going to be in this very constructed, you know, very constricted maze that, you know, then you look beyond the maze, look at all this other stuff that's here. you don't have to do this, like follow what everyone else is doing and
right,
and to get to the same point. Like that's, you know, they call them lab rats for a reason. If you do that, if you think of that, you're like, oh, well, look what this rat did. And they did this maze and so much in X amount of time. What a good
right,
rat, you know, like, but you're still a rat, you know, and you're still being controlled.
Right.
So
right,
anyway, it's something that I noticed and I thought, well, I don't have an answer. I just know that, you know, it's time to move on. And
right,
I just knew I couldn't go back into it. They were asking, because the reason, you know, I left is because we got bought out and we got merged, and they were saying, well, you know, what about these other possibilities? Like, where else would you want to be in the company? I'm like, God, there isn't any other place
I
want to be.
Out the door.
In this company. I mean,
right,
I was very honest with them, because I just gotten back from had a 1 week vacation in Costa Rica at a
right,
at a spa, like a yoga spa. I was with,
nice,
with I was doing Nia dance at the time. It was such a fun time. It was a very joyful movement, and we had all gone on this retreat, and it was just so easy. It was
right,
a true vacation, and it was
nice,
beautiful, and everything was taken care of, and I truly relaxed. And then to go back into work and knowing that down the road, you know, they had to go through all the redundancies and they're merging our department with another, a bigger department. And
oh God.
And they knew, I mean, they knew that I was an admin, and that, you know, my group of, you know, I was 10 people at the time, like they were going to be absorbed into a bigger group, and there was no need for someone like me. They already had, you know, their people in place. So I'm like, yeah,
right,
there isn't any other place I want to be in this company.
Yeah.
There isn't.
Uh-huh. You know what I never asked you?
Oh,
I never asked you, cause, you know, you haven't, you know, been in that work environment so long, and I'm very well aware of the fact that you had been in a corporate position for several years. You don't have to name the company, but it's a corporation, and what type of corporation was it? Because I know it was a very corporate environment.
They dealt with 401ks and retirements for corporations.
Oh, girl.
So it was affiliated with a bank,
with a
big bank based in Chicago. And so they did it was like a retirement consulting, basically, for corporations.
I never knew. I just knew you had a corporate gig for like many years, and you're like, I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I got the job because, were we dating at the time? She was my friend, but yeah. But yeah, it was my girlfriend.
I
was working at the same company.
You can move
in the
on
same apartment.
You know, you speak with people, get work, you know, get a leg up, just like Madonna, just like Lady Gaga. You know, girl got to do what she got to do to pay the bills.
Oh, my God. Actually, my girlfriend at the time was like, oh, my God, Alisa, this place is just so unorganized, and they really need somebody like you. So you ought to apply. I'm like, all right.
Look at you. All right. So this is how you sleep your way to the top. So you could do it again.
Yeah. I could do it again.
You know, Alisa 2.0. You never know.
Hey.
But listen, girl, that's what you're getting. Okay, you know, not because, I have to mess with you a little bit. girl, you know, you're just shifting toward yielding toward that direction of things in your life. So you've cleared up a lot of stuff and a lot of ancestry things and a lot of pattern. Like this was kind of like what Lois was talking about early on when she was like, okay, you're going to change the name of the show and I'm going to be the third co-host. Go. So she, I'm like, okay. And have we met? Okay. What's your name? Who are you? Okay. When she had come in during the show and she's like, you got work to do. So you've been doing the work. Mm. And it's not so much that getting into a relationship is the end game. Relationships come and go. We learn from them. Clearly, they come and go. Anyway, it's not so much about that, but it is in establishing. Okay, so she's sort of coming in a little bit, but I'm still here. But these are kind of more her words or her energy. But it's more that you are establishing the primordial fertile ground. So that's not going to come out of Lizard Tease's mouth, okay? But that's her. So all right. Put the lab coat on. Okay. And your goggles. Okay. Because you want to be all official. The primordial fertile ground, because what remains for you to learn and discover, there is a bandwidth of expansion and that you are pivoting to yield toward that. So it's all in good fun that I'm sort of like messing with you a little bit, but it's really her energy kind of like, okay, you got to just nudge this girl a little bit and let her know that just, you know, keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm like, okay, I got you. So keep putting one foot in front of the other. She's very proud of you.
Thank you.
Like she's kind of nodding approvingly, and I'm getting, and let me know if this makes sense, that she, I wouldn't necessarily call her the strong silent type, although she might be misjudged as that for people who didn't know her well, but if she didn't know you very well, she would be more the strong silent type, or if she would smile, it would kind of be not a full-out smile, but just kind of like a silent nod of approval, like the sensei, kind of like that. But then if you were really in her circle, then she would laugh and she would be. So it's almost like she had these two bookends. There really wasn't no middle. But she's kind of doing that silent smile, like sensei, master teacher, nod, closed mouth smile, gentle smile of approval.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, she's sort of rolling her eyes at me, but like, bitch, you picked me, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Sorry. What can I tell you? She's like, I got to work with what I got. Well, you got me. Sorry. So she's very practical. But yeah. Okay.
I think it would have been really funny for you two to meet in real life.
We're going to meet in the afterlife. There's a few people that, yeah, there's a few people queued up. She's one of them. I'm like, really? Okay. Let's sit down and discuss the philosophy of all things relevant. But yeah, that's nice. Like, it's really nice. And that she's also saying that she's like, easy does it. It's like, easy does it. Yeah, that's what she's, okay, easy going, easy does it. I like that, Lois, thank you. You know, we're always like wrangling and struggling and trying to, you know, do mental origami. We don't have to do that.
Right.
Here's a lotus flower. How about, like, here's your life? I don't need no paper cuts. Try to make some flower I don't know how to do. Yeah, easy does it. Easy going. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Wow.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, she came, you know, she jumped on. She jumps in. It's her show. Hello. But that's nice. So, and the irony, yeah, and the irony of ironies is that you're coming to this internal awakening, which will be expressed externally. I mean, you've done so much great healing, body, mind, and spirit. You know, you changed your diet, your skin's clearing up, you broke ancestral patterns. I mean, you sent me a great post from Instagram about all of that, which I really value and appreciate. So the irony is that even in the middle of a global pandemic that we see no way out of right now, for going into 5 months in, maybe unconsciously, because you know you're in a safe space, that you're in a safe space to be vulnerable to those changes within you. Maybe that's it. I don't know. That's crazy. You know,
I thought about that the other day, that there was not a time that I would have carved out before this to do the things that I'm doing.
I think that's for a lot of us, absolutely. And to learn how to be vulnerable, to learn to detonate self-sabotage before it hurts somebody else or hurts yourself, to learn how to step back and to be in alignment with self-love and the challenges that go with that. And it's not like, oh my God, challenge, scary. No, it's like, yeah, I'm ready to clear this bullshit. Like, I'm ready to not push people away. I'm ready to be open. And what's insane is that when Corona started, and I'm including in-person and not in-person, because you still learn from every interaction. You could be FaceTiming a person and being a little, have a micro connection with them. It falls apart, but you learn about yourself. So I would say, let me count. 1, 2. I would say when Corona started to now, I've had connections, whether in person or not, with 4 different men. Slut. No, not at all. Not at all. There was a lot of growth that came with that, and to learn from that, to lead me to where I am now, where I have no baseline or frame of reference, because at this point with, I'm just going to still call him new guy because I'm not owning that, like, I'm into it. So I'm just going to say new guy. I'm not owning it yet. With new guy, I'm like, damn. Because by this point, I would have done something for him to say, I don't think it's going to work out. I'm like, thank you, bye. Or bye. Or I would have been like, my kids really need me. I'm going to make 100 excuses. Bye. And it's not working out. Bye. I can't do that. There's a part of me that won't allow me to do that to a person that, one, doesn't deserve it, and two, I have nothing on this person. Other people, I had a whole bunch of stuff on them. I had a whole bunch of stuff on them. You know, whether they were freaky or freaks, or I'm like, I don't know why you're talking to me, because it's like Virgin Mary 2.0, or just not engaged or not mentally stimulating or what have you. Just bye. Like a bad Backstreet Boys song. Bye. I can't do it with this person. So yeah, and so I don't know what this landscape of vulnerability looks like, but I have, it would be self-sabotage if I push this person away right now. It would be self-sabotage. Mm. I'm not doing that. But he was the target of a really stupid flip comment that I made on date number two. And I regret it. Yeah, I regret it. And thank goodness I owned it. It worked out. I apologized profusely. I got myself out of that hole rather quickly. And owned, and I did say, that was me trying to sabotage myself. I'm so sorry. I was really stupid. And I said this. I said, I was an asshole. I'm so sorry. And it wasn't even an inclination for a second. And I'm proud of myself that, you know, a lot of times you're going to try to, how do I moonwalk? How do I backpedal? How do I make an excuse? How do I throw something on top of it? I'm like, nope. I am not going to even try to pretend that it wasn't anything than what it was. How else are you going to interrupt the pattern if you don't own it?
Mm-hmm.
And if I was to sabotage, now this was early on, I just met this person. If I was to sabotage it in that moment, I would have said, well, guess what? You deserved it, because that was a really stupid thing to say. Really stupid thing to say. And thank God I owned it in that moment. And that was very early on. And now, you know, 3 weeks later, this is still a situation. I'm not calling it a relationship. It's still a situation. And we'll see. It's a situation. And we'll see what happens. But a person as good as that did not deserve me to say something so flip and so asshole-ish and just stupid and superficial and petty. And that was me just trying to push something good away. And not doing it. Yeah, but we learn from that. And I'm grateful, and you know, to talk about it with you guys on the air, to get that great guidance. So, you know, take a breath. Take a breath before you speak. Take that courtesy breath and find the gift of self-sabotage, because if you can really own it, you can clear it. And I've gotten into such a mindful place. One, when I caught myself and I owned it and I apologized and I was forgiven for it, thank God. And it kind of locked it in when we had the mastermind call and we talked about clearing self-sabotage and that wonderful advice. Take a breath. Take a breath. That's it. Take a breath. That's all we can do. So Lois is nodding approvingly. Oh, at the two of us. Well, thank you, girl. Not just you. Oh, okay. Because, you know, she's not big with the compliments with me. Okay. So she don't know me like that. But that's really, 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 really lovely. So that's beautiful. And on that note, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. And I still have my listener special, as long as Corona's going on, $50 for an hour session with me. If you want a reading, you want to talk to dearly departed, you want me to pick up on the energy, whatever you want, email loablend@gmail.com. And this show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please be safe and take good, very, very good care of yourselves and each other. Let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. Love you guys so much. Take care.
Love y'all. Bye.